This is a HeadGum Podcast. Today's episode is brought to you by MottandBow.com. MottandBow.com is where you can get designer jeans for half the price of what you'd pay elsewhere for like Seven or J Brand, and they're truly amazing. They look incredible and are so comfy, you'll want to live in them. These are luxury jeans for $100, and they're only available at MottandBow.com. Super flattering on your curves, stretch without stretching out, and they hug you in all the right places without being uncomfortable or restricting. Their washing and handcrafted dry finishing process is part of what makes every pair exquisitely comfortable and 100% unique. Their at-home try-on program ensures the perfect fit. They ship you two sizes, try on both, keep the one that works best for you, and send back the other in the same box with a prepaid label. These are really amazing jeans. I love that they send you two sizes because I'm always in between two sizes. I never know what's going to work, and knowing that I can send it back completely free is incredible. So these are $200 designer jeans for half the price. Plus their September savings event, which means you will save 20% on everything at mottandbow.com/lovin. That's Mott, M-O-T-T and Bow, BOW.com/lovin for 20% off everything. This is their best deal anywhere, but it is only for the month of September. So save 20% during Mott & Bow's September savings event at mottandbow.com/lovin.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's Lady Lovin. You're here with Jilly Hendricks and Greta Teitelman.
Hello.
Hello. And guys, we are going to be live October 22nd at Caroline's on Broadway, so you all have to get your tickets.
Yes, get your tickets. Go to carolines.com. Get your tickets. Come and see us. It's a really, 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 really fun night. Like,
yeah,
really fun.
We'll take selfies with you after the show. We'll take selfies with you during the show.
Exactly.
And we'll take selfies with you before the show. So it'll just be like a whole night of selfies.
It's really fun. And also, we just like to apologize for being late to getting you guys this episode this week. As you know, we are all just hustling businesswomen, just trying our hardest to make everything work. And we're really sorry that we got this episode to you late. But thank you for your patience. And we love you.
We hope you were excited with, you know, the anticipation.
Yeah.
And really, we wanted to like see who cared, really.
Exactly.
Just kidding. That's not true.
I did get a lot of DMs. I got a lot of DMs and a lot of tweets. And
do you think people just thought we did this because we wanted attention?
Maybe we were just like, we're just going to starve him out till they come banging on our door wanting more.
Never. We would never do that to our lady lovers.
Yeah, you guys. So please come and see us October 22nd at Caroline's. It's like, I know that it's like a pricey ticket, but honestly, it's worth every penny because we make it really, really fun and special.
It's a good time. And it's a time also where they have fried food and delicious drinks.
I know. I love it. You can also get like any kind of Cosmo you want, which is really exciting. And by Cosmo, I mean martini. Wow. You can get like an apple. They have like apple martinis. They have Cosmos. They have like a whole situation happening.
Whenever Greta talks about Caroline's on Broadway, she always talks about apple martinis.
I do. Well, because
I feel like you secretly love apple martinis.
Can I be honest with you? I have never had one. I have never had an apple martini.
I've definitely tried one. I don't think I've ever had a full one.
Well, I
I've
just tried one. You know what I love about Caroline's still serving an apple martini is it's like a throwback drink. Nobody drinks apple teenies.
Imagine, it's a throwback teeny.
How would you feel like if you went on a first date and your date ordered an apple teeny, would you care? Or would that turn you on? Because I think that would kind of turn me on.
If he had a great heart, Greta, I think I wouldn't care.
Or would you judge him if he ordered an apple teeny?
I don't know. I'd want the story. Like, it clearly would be a conversation. I would be like, hey, is this something that you like all the time? Why do you like it? Do you have a sweet tooth? I'd really want to get into, because I feel like someone that would drink an apple teeny really has a sweet tooth.
Yeah,
so then I would want to know like more about that. It's so interesting though. I do feel like a lot of people end up judging their dates by what their drink order is.
Oh, 100%. I mean, I judge my dates by their drink order. Absolutely.
I think I'd rather have a guy order an apple teeny than a vodka soda.
I mean, honestly, fair. That's like a fair right? assessment. Yeah. Well, if you're ordering a vodka soda to me on like our first date, that either indicates that like you're on a diet, which is not a problem at all. No Never. Problem being on a diet.
You care about but, your like, health. You care. It's self-care, you know?
But like if you're on, I don't know. Vodka sodas, like I drink them, obviously. Like I drink a lot of vodka sodas, but there's just so little joy in a vodka soda. You know what I mean? It's not a celebratory drink. It's like a transaction drink. A vodka soda is a true uh-huh. transaction. You're drinking a vodka soda to fucking drink. You know what I mean?
It's like when you eat a chip and you dip it in dip. Like chips are just a vehicle for the dip. You
exactly.
know what I mean? And like the vodka soda is just a vehicle to get drunk.
Exactly. And like, I
That's
don't know.
That's true. I'd be like, why? I think that, well, listen, I feel like I would be, if you ordered a wine, great. If you ordered like a hard alcohol on the rocks, I'd be like, interesting. If you ordered a vodka on the rocks, though, that would also be weird. I feel like vodka on a date either needs to be in a martini. It needs to be like a dirty martini or an apple teeny.
See, I don't mind a vodka rocks drinker. Like if you're drinking vodka rocks, really? To me, that means like business. Like if you're going to be drinking a vodka soda on a first date with me, like don't fuck around. Just commit to the vodka. You know what I mean? It's like if you want to take the edge off that bad, just have a vodka rocks. I feel like I drink vodka rocks and I don't yeah. know. I don't know. Vodka soda, it's just like vodka soda is just like we're going to the club and we're getting fucked up. Like that's what a vodka soda yeah. is, you know? It's not like I don't feel pampered. I don't feel taken care of when you're drinking a vodka soda. I need you to
You don't think a vodka soda will keep you warm at night?
No, I don't think a vodka soda man will keep me warm at night. I think like an old fashioned guy will keep me warm yeah. at night, or like a Negroni drinker, or I don't know. But sometimes when guys, and this is like a completely sexist conversation toward men, but I don't, you know, whatever. Sometimes when guys order scotch.
I don't think so. I think that like men probably think the same way about us on dates. They're like, if a girl's ordering like I think anyone, like even male to male, female to female, like the drink order on a date is very important. I think it's like doesn't matter what gender you are.
Yeah, I agree. But I think that like a girl, I think unfortunately because of sexism, girls ordering vodka sodas is like socially seeming more acceptable than a straight man. You know what I mean?
I don't know. No, I feel like a vodka soda is still a vehicle to get drunk. I feel like anyone ordering a vodka soda is like, I want to feel something.
I do too.
No matter if you're a man or a woman.
But don't you think that like some people think that vodka soda is just like a girl drink? Don't you think that some people would be like, oh,
no,
that bitch would get a vodka soda? You don't?
Everyone's health conscious. People are drinking kombucha. Everyone's taking a probiotic. Like,
no,
I don't know.
See.
I don't think that vodka sodas are just for women.
No. Tequila.
Most guys I date drink vodka sodas. I'm not even kidding.
And you know what, Jilly? Let's talk about it because that might. Maybe we need to start.
Is that why we broke up? Is that why they're not right for me?
Maybe you need to not drink. Maybe you need to not date vodka soda guys. Maybe you need to start drinking like a tequila man. Because I was just about to say that universal dieters alcohol seems to be tequila.
Yeah, that's true. Everyone thinks that tequila is healthier for you. I don't know. I love a glass of wine.
Me too.
I usually just go with a glass of wine on a date. That's my go-to.
I was just about to ask, what is your go-to first date drink?
Well, it really depends on where you are. If I'm at like a dive bar or somewhere.
Yeah,
very
like if
casual,
I'm taking you to Tom and Jerry's on our first date. First of all,
which
are you
is
saying
a dive bar in
yeah,
New York?
Yeah, if I'm taking you to Tom and Jerry's on our first date. Like, and it's, say we're meeting after work. Say it's before dinner, after work drinks. We're meeting at like 6 at Tom and Jerry's. What are you ordering?
So this is the issue that I have is I am a lightweight, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I wouldn't want to get a tequila on the rocks because I just feel like that would be too much for me.
Mm-hmm.
But I also, you know, wouldn't get like a tequila and orange juice. I would probably end up getting a tequila and soda at a dive bar, but I also don't even really like tequila and soda. So it puts me like dive bars are hard for me in the drink category because I can't drink things on the rocks anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't really love like soda water with alcohol. Like, I don't know. Maybe I've tried a tequila ginger ale, but that doesn't do anything for me.
Why wouldn't you get a margarita?
Sure. I'm very picky about my margaritas too. I guess I'm just, you know, I love a fancy drink. I'm just going to admit it. I do. But I can go to a dive bar, of course, and get a drink, but I would probably just be a tequila soda, so I'd be a bit boring there.
Well, whatever. I'm like, in your boat. But the thing is, I am stupid, and I, like, do drink red wine at dive bars, which is disgusting of me. But I do it. And, like, sometimes you just got to drink that bar wine, you know?
Yeah, I enjoy the bar wine every once in a while. You know what I love about going to a dive bar is it really just reminds me of the past when I used to work in music, because I spent a lot of time at dive bars, and I wish I actually spent more time at dive bars because they're so fun. The music is always good. It's always like an interesting crowd. Like, you can just like look at different people and imagine what their stories are. I think dive bars are the best. I've been trying to find more dive bars to go to in Manhattan. I actually tried to go to a dive bar with my friend Felicity last week. It was Friday night. It was like 8 p.m. And we were like, let's go to a dive bar. Let's just like walk around and find one. And so we walked into this bar and we were like, this is fun. This is amazing. We like ordered drinks and sat down. And then we looked up and there was like a bunch of like naked men on the wall. And we realized we like walked into a gay bar, which is totally cool. But like, we just had no idea.
Which
so
bar? We
It was literally in the Hell's Kitchen. It was so
random.
Oh,
well, yeah. I mean, that's like, you know, that's the spot.
But it was very funny because we had no idea that we had walked into
a gay bar. Wait, what were you doing in Hell's Kitchen anyway?
You know, Greta, I've been really exploring Manhattan since you've left.
That's good. Can you believe that I was in New York all last week and I didn't see you because you were gone?
I was gone. I know. We missed each other.
I'll send you a list of all of my favorite dive bars, Julie.
Please do. I would love that. I would love that.
And you know, one of my...
But wait, can I finish the story? We ended up having the best night.
What'd you guys do?
At that bar, we made friends. We danced. The music was amazing. I was like, the music is so amazing. It was just like pretty funny that like we were like, oh, we should go. We'd like to go to a bar to like meet men. And of course we just, you know, we met men, but you know, none that,
well, of course the music is amazing. That's the best part about going to gay bars is that the music is always on point. Like, that's why gay bars are truly the most fun.
Yeah, it was very fun. It was
no one is a predator. No one is hitting on you aggressively. You can just like drink, dance, listen to good music, make friends. It's like the best time.
It was great.
I will say you live close to one of my favorite old dive bars in New York that I'm sad is gone and has been gone for years now.
Oh, yeah. That's, you know, so the bar you're referring to is the first bar that I went to when I moved to New York City. The first
that's
night.
So
the first
funny.
Night I lived in New York. It's this bar called M'lady's.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, there was a man dressed up as an elephant, like in a full elephant costume with like the, you know, the full costumes where they have like the head and
the whole body.
Yeah. It was a full elephant costume and he was like having a beer at the bar and I was like, New York's so cool.
Well, I mean, that is a very New York thing to see like some fucking weirdo dressed as an elephant. But I would like to
and
say
then guess the joke that I made the whole night.
What?
Was, oh, the elephant in the room.
You know what? Zinger, Jilly.
I know.
Halloween is coming up.
It is coming up.
And I keep
What are you going to be?
I don't know. Like, now that I live in a neighborhood in LA where there are kids, we have trick-or-treaters. So I'm trying to, like, pop off and become, like, a spooky house on the block, you know?
So do you think that you're going to, like, cater your costume to the trick-or-treaters or cater your costume to the club?
I love catering my costume to the club, but like, oh, that's funny. But I think I need to like cater my costume to the trick-or-treaters because my neighborhood is truly filled with children. And
yeah,
like as much as I want to pop off in a club look, like opening the door to them, I don't think that parents would love me being like a like turnt James Bond. You know what I mean?
No, I think that I would cater to the trick-or-treaters if I were you. I'd wear like one of those like wild costumes where people dress up as like a tomato.
I want to dress up as like a scary ass witch, or I want to dress up as Glinda the Good Witch from Wizard of Oz.
Oh, that's beautiful.
She was so beautiful, but part of me wants to scare the shit out of them, you know? Like when I was little going trick-or-treating, there was a house that would have a casket in the lawn, and this guy would like pop out at you and scare the shit out of you. And you know what? I deserved it. Like, it's fine.
I don't like scary things. I tend to avoid anything scary in Halloween. I'm really not feeling just like dressing up this year. I dress up every year, but I don't really feel
but
like
Jilly,
dressing up.
Your costumes are always so great. So you don't think you're going to dress up this year for Halloween?
No, I think that, I don't know. I'm actually interested in doing a makeup look, but like in normal clothes. Like I just want to wear like a black t-shirt and black pants or bike shorts.
Why don't you
I'm into bike shorts these days and just get like, did you see what Pat McGrath, the makeup artist, did on the runway at Valentino?
Yeah, with all of the like crystals and yeah, it's so pretty.
The Swarovski crystals. I actually talked about this on my other podcast, As Seen Online, which y'all should listen to. But I love that makeup look. So I might just like get my makeup done and then just like really hit the town.
Yeah, you should make an appointment now to get your makeup done at MAC because that shit really like blows up. Maybe I'll do that. Maybe I'll have my friend come over and do my makeup. But maybe I want like gore makeup done. You know, I want like my head to be bleeding and like all of that shit.
You honestly, you live that life, girl.
I'm going to. I feel like now that I'm in LA, well, now that I'm in LA, there are so many like spooky makeup artists that are like,
you could go to the Hollywood Cemetery. Don't they do something new for or every year for Halloween?
I think that the Hollywood Forever probably. I mean, I would assume that they would do something. Oh, Jilly, I wish you were here because I want to have a pumpkin carving party.
Oh, I would do that.
Well, come to LA and then you can come and do it. But also, hold on, since we are going to be all in New York together for our live show on October 22nd, maybe we could do something spooky for that. Who knows?
Oh, or maybe I'll just get my makeup done.
Yeah,
for
maybe
the live show.
Yeah, maybe we'll get our makeup done. Yeah, that'd be nice. Let's get our makeup done. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's take a little commercial break. When we get back, let's answer some questions.
Beautiful.
Great. You guys know I am always on the search for the best deodorant on the planet, and that is why I have to tell you about the aluminum-free deodorant that changed the game for me, Kopari. Kopari's coconut deodorant is aluminum-free deodorant that doesn't suck. I love this brand so much. I'm wearing it right now, and my armpits smell delicious. So instead of plugging up your sweat glands, Kopari's deodorant takes care of any smell without messing with your body's natural patterns. Most importantly, it really works. It does really work. It fights odor with plant-based actives such as sage oil and coconut oil, and it outlasts your longest days. It's gotten a lot of love from the editors at Cosmo and People, and there are thousands of five-star reviews on Kopari website from people who are new coconut converts. This is Kopari's number one selling product. It's truly the best. It doesn't leave behind like sticky white residue, just the sweet, subtle scent of coconut milk. It's also free of silicones, sulfates, parabens, GMOs, and baking soda, and it's great for sensitive skin. You know I have sensitive little armpits, and I love this stuff. It's safe. It's great. I really think all of you guys should try it. I love it, and you'll smell delicious. Also, Kopari offers a money-back guarantee, so if you don't like it, you know, you'll get your money back. So say aloha to Kopari. Go to KopariBeauty.com/lovin' to make the safe switch today and see how you can save $5 off your first order. That's Kopari, K-O-P-A-R-I, beauty.com/lovin', KopariBeauty.com/lovin'. You guys, Care of, my favorite company, is, you know, sponsoring Lady Lovin', and we love that because we want you to be healthy. For those of you that don't know what Care of is, it is a monthly subscription vitamin service that delivers completely personalized vitamins and supplement packs right to your door. All that you have to do is go online and take a really easy quiz. It is so easy. It'll ask you about your lifestyle, what you like to do, what's going on, what your goals are. And then it will send you these really adorable personalized pack of vitamins that you just get to have and be healthy. You get to put them in your bag. You get to put them in your nightstand. You get to put them in your car. Wherever you are, wherever you can take them, they're there, and they're really freaking cute. Care of offers vitamins for everyone. If you're vegan, if you're a vegetarian, they have supplement options for you. They also offer pre- and postnatal supplements with accompanying research to help mothers and babies alike stay their healthiest. And a portion of every sale goes toward the Good Plus Foundation, which provides expectant mothers in need with valuable prenatal vitamins. That is Lady Lovin' truly at its essence, and we love that so much. So go online, take the fun and easy quiz, and then you get these beautiful, fun, individual vitamin packs to make you healthier and better and stronger. And you know what I'm going to do? For 25% off your first month of personalized care of vitamins, visit takecareof.com and enter Lovin, L-O-V-I-N. That is 25% off of your first month of personalized care of vitamins by visiting takecareof.com. Enter the promo code Lovin. And we are back.
Yes, we are. We're Jilly, still here, guys.
Jilly, I have a really good first question that I think really is something that you can shed some wise light on, because you are like really full speed ahead career woman right now, just killing it. And I think that you can give this lady lover some advice. Are you ready?
All right.
The subject line is, am I selfish or can I have passion in my career? I'm having some career struggles and I am feeling so hopeless. I have been working in investments for about 7 years and I have worked very hard to get where I am. I have a great job and resume to show for all of my hard work, but to be honest, I feel like finance has sucked the soul out of me. I feel zero passion for what I do on a daily basis. I wake up every day and feel sad just knowing I'm going to work. I want something more, but then I think, am I selfish for being ungrateful for this job that lets me pay for my amazing apartment right downtown in Boston, lets me have 4-week vacation, that gives me amazing health care, that pays me a good salary, all things I should be grateful for. Am I just selfish? I want to be happy with what I do. I want to find a career I feel something for. But then again, I don't even know what that would be because my current career has not left me with time to figure out what a career change I should pursue. I'm attending the Forbes 30 Under 30 conference next week in the hopes that one of my many speakers might inspire me or spark an idea for a new career path. Please share any thoughts or advice you might have. I'm 29 and I don't want to spend the rest of my life miserable in my career.
All right. Well, I would have to say, I think that it's super cool that you're attending that conference. I think that the first place to get inspiration is to listen to other people's stories, to learn from their mistakes, and to really educate yourself on like the type of careers and the type of entrepreneurs that exist in the world. So I think that's an amazing step. So you should be really proud of yourself that you actually are doing that. I think that's amazing. The second thing I would say is, I've always felt that, you know, when you feel something, when you want to change, when you're interested in a new career, even if you're not sure what that is, that's never going to go away. So staying somewhere where you feel very safe and comfortable is when you have like something burning inside of you where you're like, I want to try something else. I'm not sure what that is. Like, that's never really going to go away. If it goes away, it's going to come back. So I think that, you know, you might as well go for it and try a new career. That being said, you don't have to do it in such a way where you're kind of, you know, you're left jobless or you're confused, you're struggling for money. You can do it in a very smart way where you can save money from your current job. You can go to things like the Forbes 30 Under 30. You can watch a ton of YouTube videos. I would say that YouTube is the best place to educate yourself. I would just start going on a bunch of different websites, going on, you know, TechCrunch or Mashable or Fast Company and looking at, you know, the different careers that, that they're talking about, the different businesses that they're talking about. Or if you're interested in fashion, I would look at the business of fashion. You know, wherever your interest is, there definitely is a website that can help you learn more about that. And then I would just start watching like YouTube videos of different entrepreneurs speak and then see like what inspires you from there. And then from there, I would just start, you know, applying to different jobs. Even if you're not sure if you want that job, I think just getting the experience, taking you know, interviews, having those conversations, like that's only going to make you better for when you do get the, you know, interview that you want and the job that you're interested in. Like when you finally talk to that person, you'll be very prepared. So I would just like take more time with it. I would say that this is like that you're in an amazing space where, you know, you have time to explore. You, you know, decided that you wanted to leave so you can save money. before you leave, and then you could really find something that you feel passionate about. So I feel like you're in a pretty good spot. I would just do a lot more research.
Yeah.
Sorry, that was a really long answer.
No, that was a really good answer. And I think, look, I don't think you should not spend your life miserable in your career, because eventually more time is going to pass and you're going to hate your job even more. And then you're going to be like, what the fuck did I do all of this for? And you are grateful for everything that your job gives you because you have perspective. You know, the fact that you're writing in your email, like, it gives me health insurance, it gives me 4 weeks vacation, it gives me a good salary, blah, blah, blah. Like, you are grateful for that, and don't beat yourself up for the fact, like, you can't beat yourself up for being miserable in your job just because it gives you great benefits. Do you know what I mean? It's the same thing in relationships. It's like, just because your boyfriend or girlfriend love you doesn't mean that you need to also love them back. Do you know what I'm saying?
So Definitely.
I think that it's the same kind of thing. Like, you're saying you have feelings of hopelessness and misery in your career. Like, girl, it is not the right career for you. It is okay to step away from something. I mean, you've had a 7-year career, which is honestly longer than most people can say at our age on any level. So I think that...
Yeah.
That's amazing. And like, you should definitely change your career. Do exactly what Jilly said. Like, educate yourself, read up on businesses, on entrepreneurs, on people. Think about companies that you might want to work with that might excite you, and just like start from there. And, you know, with that, like, as dumb, not to speak in what is it called? You know, that word that I'm blanking on, whatever. It'll come to me. But not to, like, be cliche, but no risk comes no reward, you know? So if you don't...
Very true. It's going to be scary.
Hyperbole. That was the word. Thank you. Yeah, it's going to be scary.
And the only way you can grow is through fear. Isn't that another quote?
Yeah.
We're
just going to fully give you advice through quotes that aren't ours. But
also, when I was at CAA, I worked there for about 4.5 years or 5 years. And I knew I wanted to leave for a year, but I wasn't quite sure what that was going to look like. And, you know, if I wanted to move to New York or stay in LA, I needed to be a little bit more sure about the career change that I was going to make. And so I took a whole year before I knew I wanted to leave. And I took a year to figure out what that looked like and to set myself up. So then when I did leave, I was successful in the next opportunity that I was taking. So I think that things do take time. And I think that a lot of us want to rush things and we want to have answers right away, but everything does take time. And you really need to, you know, there's nothing wrong with being extremely prepared when you take that step.
Totally. And same for me. Like, I was working in photography.
Yeah, that's so true.
I was working in photography for years, and I worked for an amazing photographer. I had, you know, such flexibility. I got paid really well. I loved the people that I worked with, but like, the job just wasn't, my passion wasn't in that line of work, you know? So it was very hard, where even though I was doing all these things that on paper were amazing, like traveling and getting paid well, et cetera, it just wasn't fulfilling to me, you know? So when I knew that I needed to sort of make this change to now be on the career path that I'm on, which I am so incredibly passionate about and grateful for, I did the same thing as Jilly, where I was slowly kind of like, okay, how am I going to start approaching this new chapter of my life? And like, and then how am I going to start stepping away from this old career, you know? And I was in a fortunate position where I was able to kind of like wean off my old job because I was a freelancer. So it was like, I had a little bit more flexibility with that. But I think, you know, Jilly was really in your exact same shoes. So I think that you should definitely leave your job, and it's never too late, and give yourself time. No one knows. No one wakes up immediately knowing what they're going to do, you know?
Yeah, agreed.
All right. You ready for our next cue?
Yep.
This one is hard. Okay. The subject line is donkey versus elephant. My boyfriend is a Republican and I am a Democrat, and we pretty much differ on anything political. We have been together 2 years, bought a house together. We are doing the damn thing. Lately, with all the craziest that is going on in America, we are fighting more than ever. He brings up politics around his immediate family, all of whom are Republican, and I don't know what to do. Every time this happens, I speak my piece and get shut down and feel ganged up on. I know it is not possible to not talk about politics, but what do I do? I love him and our life together, just not when it comes to this.
So this question is very difficult, and I don't think that there's ever going to be like a right answer to this, but she says something here like, you know, there's every time we talk about politics with his family, I feel uncomfortable and we can't get around it. But why isn't that something that you can get around? If you know, if that subject makes you uncomfortable, why can't you just say to him, hey, like, I don't want to talk about politics around your family. Like, if you want to talk about that with them, like, I'd rather not be there. Or, like, you guys do your own thing. But, like, that's just, I'm just not comfortable with that. Like, I just don't want to have the conversation. Because, truthfully, there's no point in, like, you guys going back and forth and arguing about stuff if that's not something that you want to do and want to participate in. So I would just kind of try to reapproach the subject as in, like, hey, I'm not interested in having this conversation. Or if they bring it up, be like, you know, your beliefs are cool, my beliefs are cool, but like, let's talk about something else and like try to get around it that way. Because I just don't think that there's any point in you, like, if this is making you feel bad, clearly it's making you feel bad or it's bothering you or you wouldn't have sent us this email. So I think that like that's what I would try to do and that's how I would try to approach it.
Yeah, I think that he needs to be a bit more sensitive to where you're coming from, where you know, he's bringing up politics around you in front of his immediate family. All of them are, Republicans. And I think that he should be a bit more sensitive to you. And you should vocalize to him, I feel really ganged up on and I get really shut down. And, you know, my beliefs are my beliefs. Your beliefs are your beliefs. But moving forward, I do not feel comfortable talking about, like, these things in front of your family. And if he can't respect that, and if he can't honor that, then you're going to need to, like, have a bigger discussion about the relationship. Because, you know, look, it's we're not always going to agree 100% on everything, but if your boyfriend can't be sensitive to your needs and how uncomfortable that would make you feel, then, like, that's not cool, you know? So he needs to also put himself in your position. Imagine if, you know, he was around your family and he just had a bunch of people ganging up on him and shutting him down. He wouldn't like that either. No one likes feeling cornered. No one likes feeling dumb or stupid, yeah, or like, no, the odd man out. And he should not be perpetuating that feeling for you. He should be helping to make you feel good and to protect you from feeling that way, even if you guys do have differing political views.
Yeah, no matter like what the topic is, like even if it wasn't something like political, even if it was about like cars or something and you didn't want to talk about like Volvos versus like, you know, Mercedes or whatever, like it doesn't matter what the topic is, like take the topic out and just, you know, think about it from that perspective. And I think that would help give you like the right answer.
Yeah. Yeah, this is a difficult situation that you're in. I'm sorry. The political climate is also just like atrocious and terrible and scary and terrifying. And to also be with someone right now that has different views as you do also makes you feel a bit crazy, you know? But love is crazy. Love is crazy. Yeah, you should just talk to him. Avoid those conversations because conversations with him, the fighting is just, it's not going to do you any good, you know? And you need to figure out a better way to communicate than fighting constantly, because there's just, fighting is just, to fight with no end is not, it's just terrible, you know?
Agree.
All right. Should we do one last question?
Yeah, let's do it.
I like this girl's subject line. Her subject line is eye-catching email subject line. And she wrote it in, like, crazy font, and I appreciate that.
Like AOL message, away message.
Exactly,
font.
Exactly.
I love it.
And she has also provided us short bullet points to get advice on how to deal with my ex. Okay. They dated in college, but she broke up with him to study abroad. He was sad and angry. They did not get back together senior year, but he would still say he loved her. After they graduated, she moved home and he moved to Chicago. And over the past 3 years, they still chat on text and Instagram and Snapchat. She gets a boyfriend, he gets a girlfriend. She gets a job offer in Chicago, and she and her boyfriend move. She is mildly shocked the ex doesn't reach out to her more. And her roommate, her college best friend, says that he still talks about her when she sees him. She still has stronger feelings for him than her current boyfriend. Does she dump her current, more mature, more caring boyfriend to pursue the deeper love feelings with my ex? Have my tastes changed? Why do I want him still? Why am I jealous he has a girlfriend and I have a boyfriend? We clicked more than my current boyfriend, and I know that. My family knows that. I'm very close with my sisters, and they have vocalized that to me. I want a more mature guy than my ex, but I don't want to break up my ex's happy relationship. I can't believe he's happy, blah, blah, blah. Am I a man-stealing bitch? I need advice. I feel shitty for still being interested. Or is it just me reliving the past in a more fantasized way than it really occurred? Thoughts?
A lot of things here. Wait, so her ex has a girlfriend and she has a boyfriend.
Yes, and they both live in Chicago.
Is her ex flirting with her?
You know, I mean, they're still, she says, we're still Snapchat best friends.
That's not good.
Yeah, that's not good.
That's just not good for the people that you're dating. Like, it's not fair to them that you guys still have this close of a relationship, especially when you think you might have feelings for him. That's not fair to the person you're dating or to the person that he's dating. So I'm just going to say that as a statement.
Yeah, well, regardless of whether or not she gets back together with this boyfriend, yeah, she needs to dump her current boyfriend.
You think?
I do, because she's stating here that, you know, she clicked more with her ex-boyfriend than her current boyfriend. And I think regardless, I think this, yeah, I think her college boyfriend is a symbol. I think he is a symbol, wow, of a feeling that she has previously had that she does not have with her current boyfriend. I think her current boyfriend is not giving her the same kind of, not giving her, but I don't think she is feeling mutually the same kind of feelings she was feeling with the ex. And I think that, you know, whether or not she gets back together with the ex-boyfriend, she is still not satisfied with her current boyfriend. So that's problem number one.
I agree with that statement, Greta.
Problem number two, and I agree with you, Jilly, is that it is unfair to your current boyfriend. It is unfair to his current girlfriend if you guys are still like chitty-chatty constantly. I don't like that.
Yeah, I just like, I never think that it's okay for people to do that, because you're not giving your partner a fair chance at a relationship. And like, I just don't think that that's right. So either way, you just need to, I would stop talking to him. But yeah, I think that what Greta said about it being like a sign is completely correct. So I would, if I were you, I would think about the relationship that you're in more than the ex-boyfriend. So like, do you actually want to be in this relationship regardless of the ex-boyfriend? I would think about that.
Yeah. And I don't think that this is coming down to you dumping your current boyfriend to then jump into a relationship with your ex-boyfriend. I think that you need to dump your current boyfriend because clearly something is not satisfying there, or completely cut off communication with this ex-boyfriend and fully give your all to your current boyfriend and fully try and make it work. But, you know, it seems like you are kind of over it, which is totally fine, and you shouldn't feel bad about that at all. You know, I do, you said here that they moved to Chicago together, but they didn't move in together, which I think is like, they've been dating for a year. They didn't move in together. Not a big deal at all. But I think that, like, you know, that's kind of symbolic too.
Yeah.
So
agreed.
I think that you should just like number one, relieve the burden of your current boyfriend and break up. And then number two, like, be a single woman in the world and, like, see if you can find a, meet other people and explore and date. And, like, that feeling that you're missing from your ex will exist in other people, you know?
Agreed. 100%.
Yeah, and I don't know. You know, I would stop talking to your ex in general. I think that, like, he has a girlfriend. You don't want to be involved in that, you know?
You also don't want to be involved with someone else that's talking to another girl while they have a girlfriend, because, like, that's just not...
Yeah, it's just, like, shitty.
You'd feel bad if he was doing that to you.
Exactly. I think we break up with the boyfriend, cut off ties with the ex, you become a single, gorgeous, free, smart woman.
Beautiful.
Exactly.
Thoughtful. You are thoughtful. You are all these things already.
Yes.
You are all these things already, obviously, but you just become them even more.
You become them, and you become them burden-free of the current situation that you're in. And then you, like, pop off in Chicago and you meet some, like, you know, hot-ass person that gets you feeling horny and excited and lovey-dovey, and that's that.
And alive.
Yeah.
What exactly. A beautiful... Did we just write her story?
Yeah, we did.
We wrote, like, a book about you just now, but...
We did.
It's up to you to figure it out. Just kidding.
Well, Julie, this was such a nice little episode we just had.
It's always nice talking to you, Greta.
I know. It's nice talking to you too, Julie.
Well, Greta, who's your lady lovin' this week?
My lady lovin' this week is Dr. Kristen Blasey Ford.
Agreed.
She is just so remarkable and brave, and her testimony last week against Kavanaugh was just so moving and strong and powerful, and I just am in awe of her, and I think she is just... really incredible.
Agreed. We've agreed on everything today, Greta, except for vodka soda.
Except for vodka soda, exactly.
But you know what? That's just a small thing in life. Just some vodka.
And just a little vodka, exactly.
Well, you know where our listeners can get a vodka soda themselves?
Where? Oh, at Caroline's on Broadway.
October 22nd.
Yes.
Make sure to get your tickets to Caroline's October 22nd. It's in the link in our profile on our Lady Love and Instagram.
Yes.
It's also on the Caroline's website.
Yes.
It's going to be a really fun night. So get your tickets. They're almost sold out. They're almost sold out. So you guys should get them. I forgot to mention that earlier. So get them today.
We'll also post them again in our stories this week. So look out for them there too.
Yeah, so you guys can really exercise that swipe up with your thumb, you know?
Except I don't have the swipe up function, just you and Lo.
Well, I think you could get it. You just maybe
I could
need an update.
I could get it if I turned my page into like a business page. But, you know, whatever.
But you don't want to be a business yet.
I don't want to be
Instagram.
A biz yet, exactly.
I feel you, girl.
All right, well, I hope you have a great week, Jilly.
You too, Greta. And I hope all of our lady lovers have a great week as well.
And we promise the episode will be on time to you next week. Sorry again.
Yes, Monday morning.
Monday. Okay, bye, Jilly.
Okay, bye.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.